Your Honour, RNZ Pacific News, O Dominic Godfrey, to'u iwa. The Prime Minister of Japan says COVID-19 spreading through his country with unprecedented speed, with the Delta variant now the major factor behind the latest wave. Yoshihide Suga has declared a coronavirus state of emergency in four more Japanese prefectures. He's urging the country to watch the Olympic Games, which the country is hosting, from home. The BBC's Mariko Oi is in Tokyo.
Tokyo has been under the state of emergency for about 2 weeks now. We've been hearing from the IOC, government officials and so on, emphasizing that this latest surge has nothing to do with the Olympics. Some of them seem to imply that it's because of young people who are not listening to the government's request to stay at home and go out drinking to the bars, which are supposed to be closed at 8 o'clock, but not. And also those young people have been encouraged to get vaccinated, even though there aren't enough jabs to go around, especially for those in their 20s and 30s.
An 11-month-old baby is among six more deaths from COVID-19 in Fiji. The infant boy was not in the target group for vaccination. The Fiji government also confirmed 1,163 new cases in the 24 hours to 8 o'clock yesterday morning. That compares with 1,301 cases and 9 deaths in the previous 24-hour period. Health Secretary Dr. James Fong says a frontline worker was amongst the dead, all of whom were unvaccinated. Fiji now has over 21,000 active cases in isolation. The death toll is 233, with 231 of them from the latest outbreak, which began in April. New Zealand's acting COVID-19 response minister says yesterday's mass vaccination events marks the beginning of scaling up the country's fight against the pandemic. More than 16,000 people have booked to get their first jab over the next 3 days at the Manukau Event Centre in Auckland. Vaccinators will be able to see one person every 90 seconds. More than 240 booths have been set up. Aisha Verrill says there are more options available for vaccination.
You're really starting to see things scale up here, and I like to call today the Olympics of vaccination because of the large scale that we'll be operating at.
Australian troops are training this weekend to patrol the streets of Sydney to help enforce a COVID lockdown. Tougher restrictions are in effect in Sydney as the city struggles to contain its COVID-19 outbreak. The Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, has warned anyone planning to attend an anti-lockdown protest in Sydney today could be giving their loved ones a death sentence. A new study has found that tuna-dependent Pacific countries are facing a more serious threat from climate change-induced ocean warming than previously forecast. Scientists had predicted that by the year 2100, ocean warming will have pushed tuna populations eastwards out of the waters of some western Pacific Island nations. But a new collaborative study by Conservation International and a consortium of technical agencies released on Friday has revealed an even bleaker outlook. Kuroi Hawkins reports.
The study found the migration of tuna due to ocean warming may have already begun, and that if global carbon emission reduction targets are not met, all of the 10 Pacific countries studied stand to lose out. The research published in the journal Nature Sustainability found that if ocean warming continues at current rates, the tuna catch in the combined waters of the country studied is expected to decline by an average of 20% by 2050. This is 50 years earlier than previously forecast. The study's lead author, Johan Bell of Conservation International, says it's a climate justice issue, given Pacific countries who contribute the least to greenhouse gases again stand to lose the most.
Fiji's Labour Party leader Mahendra Chaudhry is calling on Fijians not to surrender their legal land leases to the government. The former Prime Minister's plea comes amid debate over the government's plan to amend the land bill. Local Government Minister Pramila Kumar had urged tenants in informal settlements to surrender their lease documents to allow housing development on Itauke land. But Mr. Chowdhury says residents should not do so. He was among several political figures taken in by police for questioning over criticism against the government. He claims the government's proposing these arbitrary changes to the Native Lands Act without proper consultation. Mr. Chowdhury said any amendment to the Act will remove protection for landowners and tenants. Meanwhile, Fiji's Speaker of Parliament has rejected three petitions calling for the withdrawal of a government plan to amend the Land Trust Act. The petitions were filed separately yesterday by opposition DELPA leader Bill Ngavoka, opposition whip Linda Tambuya and MP Jesse Sokuru. But the Speaker, Ratu Epeli Nailatikau, ruled the petitions are out of order and he'd not present it to the House.
I hereby rule that members of Parliament cannot use the submission of a petition under Standing Orders 37 to withdraw Bill number 17 of 2021 from Parliament.
The Speaker said this would only frustrate a process already agreed to by Parliament and is an abuse of the parliamentary process. According to SEDELPA, more than 20,000 people had signed the petitions. A man whose family was victimised by authorities in Aotearoa, New Zealand during the dawn raids of the 1970s, says the country exploited people from the Pacific over decades. Manase Lua was a child in Auckland and remembers the dawn raids on his community. Police and immigration officials targeted Pasifika in a campaign against overstayers, despite most of them being European. Mr. Lua says Pasifika people were brought in on short-term contracts to do the work that New Zealanders didn't want to.
They thought it would be better to bring us in 3 months at a time, one by one, leaving the rest of the family behind. And that's how New Zealand's been treating our people for many generations, almost like indentured labour. You know, bring us in when they need them and then boot us out when they don't.
The government will deliver an apology in Auckland tomorrow. The retail giant Amazon has been fined almost $900 million for breaking the European Union's data protection laws. It's the biggest fine ever imposed under the EU's privacy regulations and more than twice the penalty many were predicting. Amazon says the punishment isn't merited and that it plans to appeal. Vanuatu celebrated its 41st anniversary of independence yesterday. The Prime Minister marked the occasion with a national address. Bob Loughman told Vanuatu that although the country's facing the ongoing threat of COVID-19 and has been through a political crisis, it's managed to survive economically. He touted his government's decision to invest more in the productive sector. This investment has recently seen the export of some local products, including cassava. Mr. Loughman said to support this initiative, government has approved over 4 billion vatu for the development of infrastructure such as roads and wharves. The Prime Minister also appealed for people to support the development of Vanuatu's children as the future leaders of the country. To sport, Fiji men's sevens coach Gareth Barber says he's yet to make a decision on his long-term future. The Welshman guided Fiji to its second Olympic gold medal in Tokyo on Wednesday, defending the title they won in Rio. He took charge of the team at the start of 2017 and has led Fiji to one World Series title, a Commonwealth Games silver medal and now Olympic gold. Gareth Barber's contract is up at the end of the year, and he says nothing has been decided yet.
I've had my contract extended till the end of December, so I am still under contract at Fiji Rugby at the moment. I'll take some time and have a think as well, and you know, it's one of those periods where it's a sort of cooling off period and everybody has a look and see where they want to go in the future.
Gareth Barber has flown in to the UK to reunite with his wife and three children, but says he expects to be back in Fiji in about a month. And the Fiji women's sevens rugby side is through to the semi-finals of the Tokyo Olympics after shocking defending champions Australia 14-12 in their quarter-final last night. Alawethi Nakosti gave the Fijians their dream start with a try early on to lead 7-0. Anna Maria Naimasi scored Fiji's second try to extend their lead to 14-0. However, a high tackle by Vasiti Solikovici saw the veteran Sinbin binned as Fiji was reduced to six players. Faith Nathan grabbed a try back for Australia as Fiji's lead was reduced to 14-5 at half-time. The Australians scored a late try, but it wasn't enough as Fiji progressed to the semi-finals, where they'll meet New Zealand later today. In other Olympic sports, Samoa discus thrower Alex Rose's Olympic journey has come to an end after finishing 8th out of 15 in Group B of the long throw qualifiers yesterday. Qualifying performances of 66 metres, or the 12 best performers, will advance to the finals today. He threw 61.72 and finished 17th overall. Guam runner Regina Tugade Watson will advance to the first round of qualifiers after finishing 4th in Heat 2 of the women's 100 metres sprint yesterday. The 23-year-old finished behind Iran, Malaysia and Kuwait with a season best of 12.17 seconds. And that's the latest RNZ Pacific news and sport.